Good to see you all this morning. We are delighted by your presence. We've mentioned before that we have visitors in our number this morning. We want you to know that we're glad you're here. We're thankful for your presence. And we hope your time with us this morning has been a blessing to you already as we've engaged ourselves in those spiritual activities described and given to us by God, whether it be our singing or our prayers, our reading of the Word of God, and in particular the partaking of the Lord's Supper, the remembrance of our Savior, the remembrance of His body, His blood, and the sacrifice that He made for you and I. We certainly thank you for being here and welcome you to our services. Over the next few weeks, I want to spend some time talking to you from the pulpit here about unity, and specifically the idea of what we do together, congregationally, what we are as a people of God, and the desire for God for us to be together, and what that means and what that doesn't mean. You know, unity is not the idea of there are no differences between us. In fact, if there were no differences between us, we wouldn't even have to talk about unity. The unity, the idea that then there's encouragement in the Scripture, and there's advice in the Scriptures, there's this admonition throughout the Word of God to stick together and to stay together and to be of one mind, to be of one heart, and to be of one soul, is not because there are no differences among us. It is particularly because there are differences among us. So in the coming weeks, I'm going to talk about some of those things that the Scripture says to us about how to maintain the unity that we ought to have, not only as members of the body of Christ at large, but what we ought to have as members of the body of Christ here at Westview. Those who are members here have joined yourself to the work of the cause of Christ here at this location. And with that comes a lot of blessings. We're being blessed by a large number, blessed by a wonderful building, blessed to live in this particular area of the world and to be here in Athens, Alabama, blessed to be in the presence of people who love Christ, to be in the presence of among many people of good influence, many people who will show us how to live, teach us how to live, encourage us how to live. There are a lot of blessings that go along with being a member here at Westview. And there are many responsibilities that go along with that membership also. The responsibilities that we have to God, being included in His family at large, the world over, are many. But there are also obligations that come to us specifically because we have chosen to join ourselves to His cause at this location. And that requires our commitment not only to Him, but our commitment to this work, our commitment to this church, our commitment to this congregation, a commitment that shouldn't be flippant, or a commitment that shouldn't come and go depending on exactly what's happening this week or last week or that week, but a commitment that says, I'm here to work for the cause of Christ, to enlarge the borders of His kingdom, and to enlarge the work of Jesus Christ so that I may be a part of this great calling that He gave the whole world, to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. I am here to be a light in this community. I am here to be surrounded by people to help me go to heaven, and I am here to help you do what Jesus Christ wants you to do. That requires for us to be fully committed to His cause, not just to the cause of God, but also to the cause of God that is the work here at Westview Church of Christ. And so in the coming weeks, we're going to talk about some of those things. This morning, I kind of wanted to get into the first part of that lesson, but we run a little short on time, so here's what I want to do this morning. I just want to introduce this thought and this concept to you this morning and think about the great admonitions we have in the Scripture for us to be one and be together. Now, whatever that we engaged in, whatever enterprise that you engage yourself in that requires multiple people to participate, you're going to have a lot of differences, whether it be at work, whether it be in a city, whether it be in a nation, and particularly what it may be among God's people at any local particular congregation. As we examine our crowd today, we look across the crowd that are here. We see a lot of differences among ourselves. We see differences that pertains to generational things, how old a person is. We see differences that people have compared to male and female. Some are young, some are old, some are male, some are female. Some come from completely different backgrounds. Some of you may have come from different regions of the country, different parts of the country. Some of you may have come from up north. Well, we forgive you. Some of you may be from down here in the south. I know how you feel. But whatever the difference may be, in order to maintain unity in every setting, whether it be on a sports team, whether it be at work, whether it be in a country, whether it be here among God's people, whatever the differences are, to maintain the unity that we need to accomplish the work that God has given us to do requires us to work for something and someone larger than our differences and larger than our own particular specific desires. Number of years ago, I got on an airplane leaving California, flying to Nashville, Tennessee. And while I was flying on that flight, which is about 3 or 4 hours long, way too long to be on an airplane, for me anyway, I just thought about all the different people on that plane that day and all the different places they had come from. Now, I had been out to California to watch a sporting event, to watch Auburn play Florida State in the national championships. Oh, hate to bring it up. And when I saw watching the people on that plane that day, flying back to Nashville, Tennessee, there were a lot of people that day that had Auburn sportswear on. There wasn't as many that had it on that went with it on, I can tell you that. But there were some who still was wearing their Auburn hats. And there were some who had Florida State's hats. So there are people who had come from completely different backgrounds for two different purposes, and they were opposed to one another. One wanted the other to suffer defeat, and one wanted to be victorious. And so there's a great conflict there. But here you have these two people who had come from this event and these different perspectives, one for Auburn, one for Florida State, and now they're flying back on this plane together. There were old people on there and young people on there. There were men on there and there were women on there. There were black people on there and white people on there and Latino people on there. There were Asian people on there. I saw a man on that plane that day who had a yarmulke on his hat, which indicates of his Jewish heritage. And there was a fellow who climbed on the plane near the end who was wearing a turban, who got everybody's attention when he got on that plane. We made sure he wouldn't tick him. That's a bad joke. But I thought about these people here that come from all these different backgrounds flying across the country on this plane. You know what? There was not anybody on that plane that day that started to get off once it got airborne. Nobody says, hey, I didn't know there was a Jew on here, I'm getting off. Nobody said, I didn't know there was a Muslim on here, I'm getting off. Nobody says, I didn't know there was a Church of Christ preacher on here, I'm getting off. Nobody said, I ain't riding back with these Florida State people. Did you hear how they was hollering at us when we got beat? And nobody said, I ain't riding back with them Auburn people. You know, nobody said that. Because what we were engaged in at the moment was far greater than anything that divided us. We're trying to get home. And to get off the plane in the moment that it's airborne does more damage to you individually than any damage that might be done to you by riding with somebody who does not see things just the way that you see things. And I want to draw that analogy here to what we are as God's people here in the congregation, what we are as God's people in the church here. There's a lot of differences between us, and you could bring up a number of subjects that might get a little touchy among us and that we might have a falling out about if we're not careful about how we conduct ourselves. If we brought up politics, if we brought up taxation, if we brought up this thing or that thing or education or sporting events, whatever the case may be, things could quickly get out of hand as we talk about those things if there's not something greater in our lives than all those things that divide us. And for us, that thing, that person, is Jesus Christ. He is the foundation of all that unifies us. He is the foundation of all that unifies us. He is greater than our differences. He is greater than our backgrounds. He is greater than our flaws even. He's greater than our weaknesses. One of the lessons we're going to talk about as we bring this series to you is we're going to talk about how what the Bible says about how we deal with each other among our differences and even how we deal with one another, those who seem to be strong in the faith and those who seem to be weak in the faith. Sometimes that's a challenge to bring those two people together and have them work together. As one sees the other one as weak or as the other one sees the other one as self-righteous, whatever the case may be, to bring the weak and the strong together. Well, what can do that? Jesus Christ can do that. Now, the scripture reading we read this morning was John chapter 10. Let me just briefly revisit that this morning with you. Notice what it says. There are many titles given to Jesus throughout the Word of God. He is the Messiah. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. He is Emmanuel. He is God with us. And there's also many descriptions given to the work that He came to do. He is the Savior of the world. He came to save the world. He is the Son of Man. He also not only was the Son of God, but He came and lived as a man here upon this earth and subjected Himself to what we are. One of the titles given to Jesus Christ that describes part of His work here in John 10 is the word shepherd. Did you read that? Look again with me in John 10 verse 7. Beginning. John chapter 10, and why I'm in Philippians, I'm not sure. John chapter 10 and in verse 7. Jesus here talked about being the great shepherd and having sheep. An analogy here to those who would follow Him and His work among those people. Beginning here in verse 7, notice what it says. Then Jesus said to them, "Most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. And whoever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. And will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and they may have it more abundantly. I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But a hireling who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, one when he sees the wolf coming, he leaves the sheep and he flees. And the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and I am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even as I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, that they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. Now that's the Lord's desire, that He uses this analogy of a shepherd and sheep. He is the good shepherd. He is the chief shepherd, the Scripture says, and we are the sheep. And what makes us the sheep of God is not just the fact that He's a shepherd. He can be a shepherd and you not be one of His sheep. You can only be one of His sheep if you follow Him. And the key to that in this passage, did you notice He says, is they hear my voice. They hear my voice. The key or the foundation of all that will unify us will be that Jesus Christ is our shepherd. He leads and we follow. He speaks and we answer. He is the good shepherd. We hear His voice. That's the key. Notice continuing here in John chapter 10 what it says in verse 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, He says, and they follow me. They follow me. Jesus is able to bring us together in a way that no other person has been able to bring us together. And throughout His time here upon this earth, one of the great common calls that He's given to the world and to people and individuals was this call, follow me, follow me. To Peter and Andrew and to James and John, those fishermen He met by the Sea of Galilee, He said to them simply, follow me. To Matthew, the tax collector who sat collecting taxes at his desk, Jesus said, follow me. Indeed, that's the great call of Jesus to the world and Jesus to us individually. Follow me. Now the call for us, the challenge for us, what falls upon you and I to participate in this great sheepfold of Christ is if we hear His voice. If we hear His voice. Indeed, the great shepherd is able to bring us together and to make us one. You notice here it says in verse 16, Jesus said, other sheep I have, which are not of this fold. We know that Jesus came immediately to His own. That means He came to the Jews, of which He was. And He spoke first to the Jews, telling them to repent, for the kingdom of God was at hand. But in the plan of God, it would not just be the Jews who would be part of God's family. The Gentiles would be brought into God's family. And so when Jesus says here, other sheep I have, not of this fold, I think that's specifically what He's talking about. That I'm going to reach out to people beyond the family of Abraham, beyond my own people, beyond my own countrymen. We're going to reach out to those who have not been a people before. Reach out to those who are not of the tribe, of the 12 tribes. Reach out to those who are not of the family of Abraham. Reach out to those who've not had this specific, special family relationship with God. And we are going to invite them to be part of the sheepfold. Other sheep I have. Now, there's never been a greater difference among people than the difference that existed between Jew and Gentile. And yet, through Jesus Christ, He was able to break down all those differences and bring them together to be one. Turn your Bibles, if you will, to Galatians chapter 3. Let's look at a couple of passages. Galatians chapter 3. I'm going to begin reading here in verse 26. Galatians chapter 3, verse 26. Here's what the Apostle Paul wrote to the church of Galatia. Verse 26 beginning. For you are all the sons of God through faith in Jesus Christ. For as many as you have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one, listen, in Christ Jesus. What is able to make us one? What is able to bring together those who have the greatest differences? Jesus Christ. Now, how did it happen? How was He able to accomplish this? That people no more was Jew or Gentile, bond or free, male or female, that they all were one, is that they heard His voice. For as many of you are the sons of God through faith in Jesus Christ, well, how does faith come? The Roman writer says faith in Romans 10, 17. Faith comes by hearing the Word of God. You're all the sons of God by faith. Well, what did they hear? What they heard. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ, you have put on Christ. And so our differences disappear as we only see in each other Jesus Christ. Not what we're different about, but that we see Him. We see our relationship with Him. Notice, for example, in Ephesians chapter 2, the great power of Jesus to bring together those who are diametrically opposed. Again, there's no greater differences that ever existed among peoples than the difference that existed among the Jews and Gentiles. And yet look at the redemptive work of Christ and what it did in unity for them. Verse 14 of Ephesians 2, "For He Himself is our peace, who has made both one. He has broken down the middle wall of separation." Now notice this, He made both one. Jew and Gentile, He makes one. Verse 15, "Having abolished in His flesh the enmity, that which divided us, that which was against us, that is the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in Himself one new man from the two, thus making peace." The greatest opportunity we have for unity among ourselves is to seek the path of peace among each other. There's a lot of things in which we might have conflict, we might have differences, we might have disagreements. And it's quickly for those disagreements and conflicts to be something that makes us enemies with each other, that divides us instead of unites us. And the remedy for that is to be people who seek a peaceful resolution among ourselves in our differences. And the greatest cause for that is Jesus Christ, hearing His voice, following the Good Shepherd. Did you notice He says here what Jesus did when He made both Jew and Gentile one, when He took out of the way that which divided them? He said He made those two one, thus making peace. That's the work of Christ. It's available to all who will follow, to each group of God's people who will submit themselves to His purposes. It's available to all those, as He said in John 10, who will hear His voice. It may be there are those this morning who are here. You have not heard the voice of God calling. You've not answered the voice of God calling you to repentance, calling you to confess Him before men, calling you to be baptized for the remission of your sins. From His first days here upon this earth, in revealing Himself as the Son of God, His message has been one: follow Me. Today, that message still exists. And today that message is the message that we will leave with you. If you're here this morning and you're not a follower of Jesus Christ, which simply means you have not submitted yourself to Him as your Savior, as your Lord, you've not obeyed the instructions that He's given us to be His people, then this morning we bid you and we beg you to hear His voice. Follow Him. And in doing so, He makes you part of a family that's far greater than anything that divides you among that family. Won't you come while this morning we stand and sing?